Blog Talk Radio.
Peace, peace, family.
Alright, peace, peace. The CMR Radio Collective Minds. We back for another week to, you know, have a powerful discussion, powerful build, you know, about the latest topics. I'm your host, Brother Kev, and I got Love Lachey and Mufasa Ra. What's up, y'all? What's going on?
Hey.
What's good?
What's good? How was everybody week? It's getting close to the holidays. I guess it is the holidays, you know, for those that celebrate. It's holiday season.
Man.
I think it is. It came so fast. I didn't even realize that.
Right. It's the end of the year. It's the end of 2017. We got a couple more weeks left.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be on into 18. Do y'all got any announcements?
Yeah, I got an announcement. I'm sick.
Oh.
And I hate being sick. I hate being sick. You know, it has just...
Why was I sick?
Because
no,
my little
what
friend...
Is, what
my
is,
li- hmm? I got a cold. I got a bad cold. Cause my little grandbaby wanted to stay up in my face and breathe on me with his little cold. And it's hard to tell the little grandbabies to get out your face, your little children. You don't want to tell them, get the hell out of my face. So I sat there and took it. And now I'm sick.
Oh, man. Your immune system should be able to override that, man.
Oh, dude.
I don't even... Man.
No, that was a rough one, man. He breathed it all in my nose, just coughing and spitting and hawking all over.
He probably sneezed on you, right?
Oh, he did all that. Man. He was right all up in my face. But
yeah,
outside of that, y'all, I ain't got, that's about it. I'm getting over this sickness. I'm going to be all right. I'm a trooper.
Oh, okay. Cool. Love Lachey, you got any announcements?
No, I don't have any
announcements this week.
I hope I'm not forgetting anything. I don't think I have any announcements.
Okay, indeed. did I have any announcements? Nothing other than I got some good feedback from the show last week, so thanks for everybody that listened to the Bitcoin show last week. You know, go back in the archives. Check it out. Wasn't that last week? I hope I ain't. Yeah, that was right. Yeah. So go back in archives, check that out. We talked about Bitcoins and just broke it down. Thanks for everybody that listened to that show. And today we got something special. We're doing a movie review of 1804, The Hidden History of the Haitian Revolution. Okay, by my man Tariq Nasheed. Shout out to Tariq. You know, he did Hidden Colors, and this was just an extension of that series, but it specifically focused on the Haitian Revolution. You dig? And, you know, I was an advocate for doing this show because I just thought the story was so fascinating. And, I think we can learn a lot from from how they handled themselves and, you know,
yes,
stood
sir.
Up with dignity and you know, basically had a lot of self-respect and self-pride. So I just thought it'd be good to watch the movie, review it, and, you know, just chop it up. So here we are now, just to let the audience know, me and Mufasa saw it. Love Lachey didn't get a chance to see it. So, you know, I guess we'll kind of let her ask questions as we go, and we can kind of, you know, talk about the movie or whatever, you know. Most definitely. You do want to see it, most definitely. Because, like I said, it's a powerful story. So, before we get into the movie, though, let's just give a quick, a quick breakdown of the, just the history of Haiti in general. You know, just kind of general stuff to give people context that don't know, right? So Haiti is on the island of Espanola. It shares the island with the Dominican Republic, okay? And this was like the first place that Christopher Columbus actually landed when he came over to the Americas. He landed in San Domingue. They call it San Domingo, which is still over there today. So this island, they share this island. It's a beautiful island, lots of resources. So it was a lot of, European colonialism and competition for this particular island because of the resources. So the French, the French and Spanish was going back and forth. So the French took the west side of the island, which we call Haiti, and the Spanish took the other side of the island, which they call San Domingue at the time, which is now the Dominican Republic. Okay. And I think it split somewhere around 1697. So that just kind of give you a timeline. They declared their independence in 1804, but in 1697, the French and Spanish was dividing the island or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So just to give you a little timeline on that. And so the French on one side, the Spanish on the other side. So the French start bringing a lot of slaves. The French and Spanish really start bringing a lot of slaves from a lot of people. I'm sorry. I want to get that correct. They were bringing a lot of Africans from Africa, kidnapping them and bringing them over to Haiti or to the island of Espanola and making them slaves. And, all the records document that the French was hella cruel. You know what I'm saying? Like they had torture tactics. They was burning people alive. You know what I mean? They was telling the old lie that that they tell today. Well, Africans sold y'all into slavery. You know what I'm saying? They was telling the Haitian people that back then to make them think that somehow they deserved to be slaves. You know, but the French was doing it like on a whole nother level. You know what I'm saying? And they was bringing thousands and thousands a day. So at this point, you got to understand, they was outnumbered. You know what I'm saying? Even though they was the minority and they was controlling everything, they was outnumbered. So I kind of think that allowed, the Haitian Revolution to go down as well. But that's just a quick, backdrop on, the geography and how Haiti, where it is, where it is now. As far as the economics, you know what I'm saying? This is why it's in the condition that it's in today, is due to them winning the Haitian Revolution, in my opinion. And they've always kept like a economic stronghold on the island due to, them defeating the biggest militaries of the time, which was the British, the Spanish, and the French. Napoleon was the guy around this time, and the French had the most powerful army in the world. They had the most powerful army in the world due to Haiti being the economic power that it was, because Haiti was selling sugar. You gotta remember, sugar was the commodity of the time. Like, the rich had sugar, you know what I'm saying? It was like considered an elite type of item back then. Everybody didn't have access to sugar, but due to Haiti being, a lot of sugar canes and, you know, land for sugar, they was the biggest producer of sugar, tobacco, you know, other exports, and this caused France to be rich and powerful, you know, based on the free labor they getting from you know, from the Africans that they kidnapped over there. So so Haiti was the spot. Like, even in the documentary, I think they talked about, like, back then Haiti was considered, like, people from Europe would go there vacation. You know, the French had all these mansions, and, you know, it was beaches, and it's just, it was a beautiful place. It's an island. It was beautiful. And a lot of people, they used to go
there. It still is beautiful.
Yeah, it still is, exactly. It still is beautiful. And a lot of people, it used to be like the place in the world where everybody went. You know what I'm saying? And, yeah, so the French was taxing them, you know, using their economy to build up wealth. And the people just got fed up and rose up, and it took a span. It took a few years, because I think I want to say the span was maybe 10 to 15 years to get you know, everything going. But the people just got fed up and defeated the army using different guerrilla tactics, because if you fighting these big armies, it's hard to go head up when you don't have, you know, the weapons, you don't have the necessary military training, so you have to use different tactics and attack in different ways as opposed to just going head up with these people. So that's what they did.
They did voodoo?
Yeah, they did voodoo. As a means to, to channel some energy, you know.
Right. Because, I mean, that was very small compared to the French army. So it's like, you know, that's amazing. That's just an amazing story anyway, that they can overcome such a large. Because they was outnumbered, so, you know, they had some special energy behind them.
Right, which is why they tell people today that voodoo is bad and it's devil and it's all that, because in my opinion, I don't think they want black people to tap into that or even to look into it. You know what I'm saying? Because it was such a powerful, you know, it was just a way of life. It was a way to use the elements in order to, you know,
it's a way to tap
favor.
Into your own power.
Yeah, tap into your own power. You're using nature and the elements in order to get a result. You know, so.
Mm-hmm. You ain't sitting back trying to get an outside, you know, waiting on an outside influence to do something for you. You calling on powers that's in you, or powers of ancestors that's in left. You know, when you get into that voodoo, and then, you know, it makes you unafraid of death. And somebody who ain't afraid to die is a dangerous person.
Yeah, that is true.
Exactly.
And I wouldn't necessarily consider it as just like the ancestors. I think it's just something that we already have. This is something that the Creator gave everybody. And,
right.
You know, I think one tactic that they learned was to weaponize everything, rocks, shoes,
right, exactly.
Shoes. They mined everything, became a weapon.
Weaponize everything, exactly, exactly. And the movie said that verbatim, Love Lachey. It said they weaponized everything, you know.
Everything. You have to, because it's such a small, it's a small group of people when you compare it. So
right.
That's why I'm like, maybe voodoo should maybe, I mean, I haven't did the history on the figuring out the origin or researched the origin of the word voodoo. Well, was it ever called something? You know, like,
Yoruba. What's some different names, like Yoruba?
And Von Doom.
You know, Von Doom.
And they
were
voodoo.
Boom, Von Doom. Yeah. Yep. You know, just West or African traditions. You know, but it, like I say, voodoo has got such a negative connotation that it's scared a lot of. You know, black Americans for even looking into it when really there's nothing to be, you know, there's nothing to be afraid of. You know what I'm saying? There's really nothing to be afraid of when it comes to that. And so, and that was the thing I was going to say. They broke the movie down into like four main players, key players that were, you know, key in a revolution. And Mackendall was one of the first ones, and he was like the voodoo priest. You know what I'm saying? He was the one that kind of got different secret societies going. He the one that got voodoo, like secret societies going, and, you know, start teaching the folks how to use it, getting little ceremonies together. So he was real instrumental in that part. You know, they talked about Mackendall. They broke it down to Mackendall, Duddy Bookman, Toussaint Louverture, and Dessalines. And those were like the key players, you know, that kind of led and assisted in the revolution, you know. So I want to ask you, Brother Mufasa, since you've seen it, what, you know, just I guess your overall thoughts on the movie. Did you learn anything new? And would you recommend, you know, would you recommend other people to see it?
Yeah, well, you was the one that recommended it to me, so I got to give you props and thank you for recommending it to me, because, yeah, I really did enjoy it. And I see why you done watched it so many times.
Fact.
You know, because I done seen it once, and I already know I'm going to watch it several more times, because it definitely went into details about the revolution and stuff that, you know, I didn't know anything about. And they did a great job with it. Coming into it, I just, you know, just looked at it as it was a revolution where slaves had rebelled and took, you know, kicked the French out and took back over their land. But when you watch the whole documentary, it go into even how the country is still suppressed now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, man, you know, it's a shame that that's still going on to these people, that they under such attack like this. The documentary pointed out to me why that land is so important to other people. I didn't know they had so many resources.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. That was the thing, man. Haiti is
it's always about the resources.
A valuable piece of land. Right. It's always about the resources.
It's always about the resources when trying to get you.
Yeah.
Trying to get what you get.
And yeah, it was
so, you know.
Yeah. Go ahead, brother.
No, I was gonna say, so that was something that I really tripped off of the resources that they, you know, the reason why they're still suppressing this land to this day. And you start putting it with other stories, like, well, what's going on in Africa? The same thing goes on in that land, where European people, you know, want the resources of the land, and they'll get it or try to maintain or achieve it by any means necessary, this white supremacist system. And then, you know, watching the documentary also showed me just how slick and covert
facts
they can be when it comes to getting this stuff. You know, when they try to come at you head up, and then when they can't win that way head up, they start going with the, you know, with the slick talk, with the slick moves. One thing that stuck out to me, I totally forgot about, was that Wyclef Jean had ran for president of Haiti. Did y'all remember that? He ran for president. I totally forgot about that. And they brought up a part in there about when he was running. Now, before this, you didn't hear about no issues or no conspiracies he was involved with, but as he was running for president, they started attacking his different organizations and trying to put, you know, bad labels and bad reps on his organizations just because he was running for president. He also had an assassination attempt on him and got shot in the hand. I didn't know that neither, you know what I'm saying? And after he when his run for president wasn't successful, all the bull crap they was trying to put on him, all that just slowly died and went on away. So, you know, they didn't want him to be the president because he, in the documentary, they said that, you know, he wasn't going along with the regular powers to be and wasn't shaking folks' hands and making the backdoor deals and stuff. He was just coming in
right.
because he loved his country.
Yeah,
that's
he was for the people.
He was for the people. And they didn't want that. So it's crazy how when somebody doing that, all of a sudden all this different crazy manipulative talk come out and conspiracies come
right.
out about you just to keep you down.
Right, right. Because they was talking about his organization. I think it was like Yele. They was talking about he was stealing money, laundering money. Come on. This is Wyclef. This is a Grammy Award-winning artist. He got meals in the bank, man. That's not like this man was for the country. You know what I mean? I believe, man. They just sabotaged his name and sabotaged his campaign, used fear tactics, you know, used assassination attempt to kind of shut him down. And this is what they do. That's how they managed to control Haiti to this day, because they put the people in there who do accept those backdoor deals that you was talking about. You know, that
that's
ain't for the people.
And that's all politics.
Well, they try to make it all politicians, but there are some people who try to do right by the people and don't accept deals. But those people, we know how they're treated.
I'm just saying politics,
right.
not politicians individuals, but the
politics
as a whole. That's just how it's. That to me, that's just what I see in terms of politics. Because when you have a person that's running, you already know somebody's going to try to come and attack your background, your character, all kind of stuff. Especially if you are not going with, like you was just explaining about Wyclef. You for the people, and you really for the people. They're gonna always try to find something on your back.
But the bug with that it shouldn't be like that, especially when you when you telling lies. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You do know that that is a part of the politic world, and it shouldn't be like that. You know, that's why I say it's just a shame how it shows you just how corrupt man can be. You know what I'm saying? So I won't blame the politics business, but I'm going to blame the people who's running the show, who in the politics.
Yeah, it's always that. Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, it's always that. It's always the person, the individual, with the desire to either want something, you know, more than what they have, you know. It's always the heart of man, the desire and stuff like that that drive them to do the things that they do. And it shouldn't be like that in politics. There's a lot of things that shouldn't be. We shouldn't even be having this conversation about something that happened like this. We shouldn't even be in slavery. Shouldn't have never existed. You know? So there's a lot of things
that
we shouldn't.
Right, but in this case, like, this is a win. This is one of the only successful slave revolutions where they got their full independence from a country in history, in world history. Like, this has never been done. So this is actually a victory, and we can learn, like I said, from what they did. You know what I mean? Like they were on code. Like they got the majority of people on code. And I found it interesting too, the documentary said that they got rid of the coons first. Like anybody who was trying to sabotage the movement.
Now you talking about the early part.
Yeah.
Of the revolution.
Yeah, that was early on. Before it even, you know, got fully going. They took care of the black people who would sabotage the community, go against the community.
Black, what they called them, man? Because I said this is a new word. Black.
What was that? How would they get rid of them?
Collective, collectors.
The black. What was it?
Oh man, I can't believe I can't remember that phrase because I wanted to remember that. It's a new, another way for saying coon. The black consumption. But they was poisoning them all, Tanya. They was poisoning them off.
Yeah, they was killing
flat
them.
Flat out
yeah.
killing them.
It wasn't no plan. Like, this was real wartime, right? She said,
okay.
What was they doing? They was killing them.
They
was getting
said,
rid
they
of
was
them.
Like, we ain't going to give you a chance to mess up our, you know, to tell our plot.
Yeah.
They getting rid of you.
Like,
first.
It was serious. It was serious.
Let's take a
call. Okay. Let's get a call.
A caller from area code 336-965. Caller, are you there?
Yes, but I have no comments.
Okay, you're just listening. Well, we appreciate that, too.
Thank you,
yeah.
caller.
Yeah, so they was killing them, okay.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, they-
Yeah, that was early on. They started doing that. And then what it is...
They
like,
wouldn't be all unevenly yoked.
Right. They didn't want to have people, you know, you don't want to have people that's going against the movement
Everybody
that don't want to be free.
You have to have the same mindset.
Right, exactly.
Right, it's
you
just
have
like
to be on
code. You, it's like if me and you say, you know, we're finna take over. We're going to take over this business, this building. And we, me and you, we plotting on it, and we got some people that's supposed to be with us, but we already know they're going to go behind our back and tell the people who got the business, tying, look at that. They're going to say that y'all over there conspiring or plotting
just,
on taking over this business.
What about the ones that just couldn't follow through? You know, some people get nervous if they get rid of them too, because some people just don't have the heart. They want to do it, but they like, oh man, y'all
well,
no, that's a difference.
No,
yeah,
they
wasn't
talking about
different.
That.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. They
were talking,
they
about,
were,
that.
They were talking about people that was gonna snitch. They were talking about
snitching.
Snitch.
That was exactly
okay.
You going out
yeah.
your way to, you know, conspire
okay.
with the enemy. You know, no, so no.
Yeah,
it
if,
wasn't
you,
about being,
if you
being
was working,
fighting them.
Yeah, if you was working up under, you know, all friendly, dilly-dilly with the Europeans, they already knew you couldn't be trusted.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I can't
so.
See this one.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
you
got to see it.
See
it.
So. It's good. I just say,
it's
I know I'm going to watch
good.
It again. Because it, was, it
so,
just break down all the different aspects of what happened. It's like, man. I didn't know all this
right.
type of stuff went on.
Right, like here's another aspect of it, right? So Napoleon, right, you got to think, the French had the most powerful army in the world. So Napoleon sends one of his top general, Rauschenbach. Remember him, Mufasa? He
yeah.
was a character. When they talked about the general, like they was
mm-hmm.
like, this cat was low down, dirty. He did some things that they showed in the movie to where... they say he didn't like the Africans, and he didn't like the mulattoes, the quote-unquote mulattoes or mixed
mm-hmm.
people as well. Like, he didn't like nobody.
Yeah.
So they was like, one time he got all the wives together, the
mulattoes.
The and, yeah, the mulatto wives together, and gave them a box. He called them in a room, gave them a box
yeah,
wrapped up like it was a present. They was having a party. So, you know, at the end of the party or during the party, he gives them a box. You know, that's wrapped up like a present. They open it up, and he got their husband's heads in there. You know what I mean? And he just laughing and carrying on. So that was one little story. But he was a character, and he ended up getting defeated by Dessalines, right? And, you know, one of the things, Dessalines ended up letting him go. After he defeated him, they had a meeting. He tried to give Dessalines his sword or his gun or something, and he was like, no, you know, you can keep that. And he let the remaining French soldiers that had made it or survived, he let them get on the boat and get on up out of there. You know what I mean? He was just like, you know, I'm not gonna kill y'all. Y'all lost, y'all conceded, get on the boat and y'all can go, you know. And I think that showed the honor and Dessalines, you know what I'm saying? That was a very honorable thing, even though it backfired because when them cats got far away
yeah.
enough off, when they got far off of the land,
they start shooting.
They start shooting cannons back.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So,
right. And I want to make sure I get this in, too, before I forget.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
That, you know, and they mentioned this in the documentary, but I had been thinking about it beforehand. You know how other revolutions get talked about in a positive light? You know what I'm saying? The Chinese Revolution and all these other revolutions, they talk about these people as being fearless and doing what they need to do. But with the Haitian Revolution, they don't even talk about it. If they do, they talk down on it. You know, like, what do you expect these people to do? These people were you know, rebelling from being put into slavery. And you trying to tell me that type of revolution, them people shouldn't get credit for that?
Facts.
You know, that's ridiculous. And there was a part in there where, y'all know who, what's that guy named? Larry, whatever his name is. I don't even think that might not be his name. The Christian dude who had the big show, the 700 Club. You know the part I'm talking about, Brother Kid.
Oh, yeah,
the guy
who
had the 700 Club. What's his name?
You talking about Pat Robertson, I think.
Pat Robertson. You remember what Pat Robertson said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On one of his shows, he was bringing up about the Haitian Revolution, and was talking about how he said that when they was let's go back to our talk about the voodoo. He was just saying that the people of Haiti, when they was doing their uprising, he said that they called on the devil. The devil, they made a deal with the devil in order to help them get their liberation. And that's why he said that's why they going through what they're going through now, because that deal they made with the devil. That's why they getting all these type of things happening to, you know, like the earthquakes and stuff like that, because they made a deal with the devil.
Yeah, he said it after the earthquake.
Come on, man.
Now, you see that, though? You see that? When black people try to get free, how he just twisted it like that? Like, you made a deal with the devil. How is you making a deal with the devil and you just want to be free? Like, you trying to not be a slave. You know what I'm saying? Like, that don't even sound right. If anything, that's the act of God, you freeing yourself.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Like,
what
come
he
should have
been saying is, what he should have been saying was God was coming to emancipate these people.
Right.
That's what he should have been saying.
Right. So,
but
no,
because they black. Because they black, they made a deal with the devil.
They made
the
deal
only
with
reason
the devil.
They was able to do that, the devil did it for them. But that's why they're being punished now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was definitely, I like that. The documentary was put together well. You know, I know a lot of people will like the Hidden Colors documentary. And this was just as good. I'm going to be honest with you. This, to me, what they got, 5 Hidden Colors?
I think so. Four or five. Yeah.
This to me was right up with the first Hidden Color. What'd you say, Lola? Say.
Yeah, that's how I was gonna ask you. Like this movie better than the other Hidden Color?
Yeah, to me it was like right there with the first one. Yeah.
I like it better because
honestly,
it was
I think
focused.
I like this one more. Yeah, I think I like this one more.
Yeah, because Hidden Colors was good. It hit on a lot of topics. But me personally, I like this one because it was more specific, and it got into like the different little situations and different dynamics of the whole story. So I kind of, I like that aspect. And also, time you got to remember, we talking about a time when America wasn't fully developed, right? Only thing America had was the 13 colonies, for the most part. Because they had the 13 colonies. It was like Indian territory. The French had the middle from the Mississippi River on west to like, like Montana. The French had that. Then the Spanish had, like New Mexico and Texas and California. The Spanish had all that. So it looked real different, when we're talking about what was going on at the time. And when what made the French sell the Louisiana Purchase to expand the rest of the country, to expand the rest of America, they had to sell that due to the fact of the Haitian War. You know what I'm saying? Because they was getting bankrupt. They had to pay for the war, pay for equipment, pay for things. So in order to do that, they sold the Louisiana Purchase for like pennies on a dollar. You know, they be used to tell us in school that they sold it so cheap. It was like 1 cent an acre and all that stuff. You know what I mean? But that was due to the Haitians, you know, getting on their head. And that's why they had to sell the Louisiana Purchase. So that's a good story, too, because where we are in St. Louis, we all know it's a French territory. You know what I mean? And we right here on the Mississippi. You go on down to New Orleans. You know, that's a French city or whatever, you know what I mean, with a lot of French and African heritage, you know what I mean? So that's just another little dynamic to the story of how the country expanded, you know what I'm saying? So, and that was due, like I say, due to the Haitians. They was whooping them during the revolution, you know.
So do you guys think this story is kind of twisted and to prevent the uprising from happening again and using the same tactics that they know that they cannot defeat?
No doubt.
Yeah, no
and
doubt.
Keep,
I mean,
yeah
go ahead, bro.
No, I was just going to say keep us suppressed. Right, go ahead, I'll let you go.
No, no, no. I was just going to say, yeah, this story is powerful. But that's why we don't hear about too much about the Haitian Revolution in our schools, or like this should really be mandatory, like studying for, you know what I mean? Like this should be a definite part of history. This should be studied. It should be broken down for our kids and for people to understand. But they understand the power in that. If they do that, you know, people start to get ideas, quote unquote. You know,
right,
they don't.
Exactly.
You know, they don't want to relinquish no power. But that's why it's called the hidden history of the Haitian Revolution, because a lot of this stuff, like I say, is hidden. You know, there are books and there are things that, you know, that we need to be more inquisitive about and look for. Some of the information is out there, but they don't put it out in the mainstream like that. You actually got to go, you know, go looking for it yourself. But I'm saying it should be mainstream. This should be a mandatory story for.
I agree.
It should be a mandatory story for, you know, all African indigenous people, period.
Yeah, in fact,
in
school, when they talk about Christopher Columbus, they might as well go straight into this.
Exactly. They can go straight into this because this is where he landed.
Like we've been saying before, in this system that we in, they don't want to hear about no black people kicking their ass. They don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, they don't want us to get any
That's true. And yeah, that's true. They say the victor tells the story or tells the history. So that just proves that, you know, we are conquered people because we don't control, you know, even the information that we're learning, you know, in these institutions. Because I think any black scholar or any black scholar or elder or teacher, I think this would be part of the curriculum when you talk about learning something about history. You know what I'm saying? So let's take a caller. Love to say, I guess you're going to handle it. Switchboard.
Area code 618-514. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, caller, how you doing? Thanks for calling in.
Hey, peace. My name is Metuhotep, and I would like to shine my thoughts about the documentary. It was a phenomenal movie. They did a good job with it, but what people need to understand is even though we saw a lot of violence in it, it has not began to show you the amount of violence and genocide that they were responding to.
What the Haitians was doing, they was
responding to a call that the Europeans was giving to black people. So they realized that the only way to deal with these people is violent. There was no diplomatic way of dealing with it. To see the French come and do what they did just for money, you have to understand that the French really, what we've seen, we did not see what the French was really doing to black folk, because the life expectancy, as they showed in documentaries, no more than 6 to 7 years. You literally worked to death. So people will say, oh, the Haitians was doing all this killing. But look what they were responding to. They had to they had to be twice as vicious towards them in order to get their liberation.
Facts. I saw some information that said the life expectancy was 3 years. They was just turning them in and out. 3 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's ridiculous. You know, you're working someone for three to 6 years and disposing of them. You know what I'm saying? Making
they also did it, burning people. It was
brutal.
Not only that, the same white man that they pointed out that was doing all that killing, that Napoleon's cousin, what was that guy's name?
Yeah, Rauschenbach. I got it written down. It was Rauschenbach. General Rauschenbach. That was his top general that he sent in.
I think you're pronouncing it wrong. But I probably am
butchering his name. I probably
am. Right, but no, but that guy. But a lot of people don't know that guy also came back to America. He fought with George Washington, side by side with George Washington.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So we have to really understand that real history, and then how the Haitians were actually, when they got their liberation, when the last general, Jean-Jacques Dessalines, became emperor, he was only emperor for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
He was assassinated the second year of his reign as president, the first president of Haiti.
Right. Yeah.
He was assassinated by the mulattoes.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, ain't that crazy?
Christoph. Yeah, he didn't live long, but he had what people got to understand is that recently, the Obama, along with the Clinton administration, helped to rewrite the Haitian constitution.
Yeah, they constitution.
Right.
See, a lot of people really got to know that history because recently
break that down. Yeah, I was gonna say break that down because that's important. Explain what the constitution was and what they changed it to, because that's critical.
Okay. One of the bylaws that the Constitution said in there was that no white man can own and control land in Haiti, and they can never come in as a slaver in Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
That all changed. And then also the Obama administration, what they did was to get a passport in Haiti, it used to be like $100, $150, like same amount as here, $100, $150. Now, when they changed the Constitution, it cost $3,000 to get a passport to Haiti now.
Now, y'all tell
so they
me,
don't,
how can,
sorry.
Because this was done, like you said, under the Clinton administration. So y'all tell
right.
me, how does an administration that had nothing to do with your land come to your land and change your Constitution?
See, what happened was when the Americans came in the 1940s, they took the Haitian gold deposits, all the gold, because they had their money was backed by gold. They took all their gold, put it in Fort Knox for so-called safekeeping. So people's like, oh, the Haitians keep wanting to come to America. The solution for that is give them back their gold.
Right.
Nobody
See, you brought up
talk
something else
that.
Important. I was going to say you brought up something else important going back to America coming into Haiti also.
Right, they fought against the French, the British, and they fought all these.
And
see what happened was after the and the Spanish.
And the Spanish.
See what happened was that was fueling Europe.
Right.
See what when the Haitians sent them all off, they came back. They made a coalition with all these other European colonies. They were getting ready to fight them again, but their resources was used up. So they told them either you. Make a treaty with us, or we're going to come and fight you again. So they really was kind of tired, but their president was going to have it. But he was assassinated 2 years after the revolution.
Right, and this is another dynamic we got to keep in mind. the European colonizers, they typically stick together. They may fight it out. What it is, they'll come to an indigenous land, have a war, and fight for who controls it. You dig what I'm saying? So we can never get that twisted because the quote-unquote Americans or the 13 colonies, they were working with the French, with the Spanish, even though they may have had their little, you know, little wars or whatever on indigenous land to control it, but they worked together, you know what I mean, when it comes to controlling the territory.
And that's one thing that black people got on
with Haiti, you know.
That's one thing that black people got to understand is that unity don't mean we have to like each other. That means we work. You don't have to like me to help me load this gun up.
Right. Right.
See, a lot of us, we take our personal discrepancies and put it into business. We got
right.
to separate the two. And even in Haiti, see, I also did some more research on it. In the state of Missouri, I don't know about other states, but I know for a fact in the state of Missouri, if you don't have a passport by the end of 2017, you can't get on the plane. So if you live in Missouri and you don't have a passport and you want to travel to like Chicago or Delaware or New York, anywhere, and just fly anywhere, you have to go to another state in order to go there, or you got to get a passport. And another thing, because a lot of stuff has been changing.
I'm begging you.
Yeah, I heard it was coming. I heard it was coming. Yeah.
It's this year. And then I also did my research that only 36% of Americans have a passport. So I mean 64% don't. So that, you know, these are just, it's some stuff I want to say, but I just give people something to think about. But with
when
the Haitian Revolution, you know, we here to talk about the Haitian Revolution, but the Haitian Revolution
right.
is so significant because of what the French was doing, because what the Haitians was telling the French after they got their freedom, they say, you know, the genocide that you all have committed on us
mm-hmm.
will not allow us to exist with you in peace. You
right.
have to go. But my
mm-hmm.
thing with that, the error I see in that is they shouldn't have let them went home.
Right,
they should have
right.
just killed
that's
them all
about,
like
yeah.
right there and there.
Yeah, yeah.
But
they
that
they
shows the
them,
spirit
of
African people.
This is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. Exactly.
That's why you have to. That's why it's good to study this type of stuff. So you study this stuff, and then you know how to deal, how you should deal
you know
next,
to deal
time, next go
time.
Round.
Exactly. Next go round. Exactly.
Right. Because so, my statement is, if you don't know your past, you're unequipped to prepare for your future.
Exactly.
This is facts. This
when
is
you don't
facts.
Know your past and you try to go forward, any step you make will be backwards.
Exactly, and that's why I say this story should be mandatory for any African child in the world, not just the United States. This story is crucial to history. You know what I'm saying? It's crucial to history. It's the only successful slave rebellion that gained its independence by beating three superpowers. Like, this has never been done. We're talking about the slave population rising up. Like, you know what I'm saying? This has never been done. So for them to overlook it, I get it. Because they, you know, they don't do what they do. They're not going to share this information. But with us, I think it's important, you know, shout out to Tariq for making this movie. But I think it's important that we share this information. We try to get books and learn and teach the next generation this story because they're not going to get it, you know, at school, at the Fool House. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man. This
yeah, that's see what it is that once you study what see, and what I like about it this documentary is that they dispelled a lot of myths when it comes to voodoo.
Right.
See, voodoo is nothing but studying of nature.
Right.
It has nothing to do with this ghost spell what they try to get us to believe. They just
right.
study nature. They study their environment, and that's a military
exactly.
tactic. To be able
exactly.
to study your environment, because a lot of people, you know, we fight and shoot each other in all these inner cities, but how many of these gangs got a map of the city?
Right, exactly.
Where street corners are, where are the empty lots, where are the empty
right.
vacant homes, where are the,
where's
we don't know out. That.
Mm-hmm.
See, they just study their environment. You know, even be able, I speak 13 languages, to be able to speak another language is still a military tactic, so you can be able to translate information without having other people know what you're talking about. Because like with the Haitians, what another thing they would do, especially the women. See, the women was the ones that sparked this revolution. It wasn't the men, because Jinja Dessalines, even to our brother Book Mandada, because when they did that ceremony where Book Mandada became the first revolutionary, it was a sister that put him in that position. Even with Toussaint Louverture, his mom taught him how to fight. Dessalines' parents taught him how to fight. See, there's an African proverb that says that one generation plants the tree, the next one gets the shade. So we have to prepare the next generation on how to do it. Even when you look at the Kemetic science, Imhotep made the step pyramid. That's the blueprint for the perfect pyramid. All you did was fill in the blanks. So they, the women prepared these brothers on how to do it, when to do it. So one of the things that the sisters would do is they have these bells around their shoulders. So whenever the French come, they would just shake their shoulders real fast, and they'll let people know that the French are coming. Without saying anything, they just knew they heard that bell. That sister dance. Europeans didn't understand, oh, she's just dancing. Just like when you look at Capoeira. They did that.
Yeah, Capoeira.
They thought that was a dance. But you don't know that these people are preparing a fight.
Right, and that lead me to my next point, because what Lovelace said earlier is they weaponized everything. Everything was a weapon. And I think that we as black people can learn from that to use our environment, to use nature, to use everything that we can in order to, weaponize it. Because this is what our open enemy does every day. But we don't see the tricks and the trades of how they do it, but they weaponize everything, the news, media, money, TV, you know what I mean? Everything is weapon, education, law, everything is a weapon that they use. So it's an important lesson that we can learn from the Haitian Revolution, how they weaponize everything to gain their independence. So,
right, that's just like when you look at Pat Robertson, he want to say, that the Haitians, they was worshiping the devil, and the devil helped.
Right.
But my thing is, even though I know that that was a lie, but let's take that lie and examine it. If the devil helped them to get their freedom and God ain't, maybe we need to take a second look at this devil.
Exactly.
Yeah, we had touched on that earlier.
Exactly.
I almost started going in that direction, but I said we'll say that for another show.
Okay, my bad. I didn't know. You gave me the wrong number, brother.
Yeah.
No, we good. So let me ask y'all brothers this. So let me see.
Rochambeau, that was his name.
Yeah, Rochambeau. Yeah, I pronounced it wrong. I know I was butchering his name.
Right. It just sounded wrong. But I had to get it out.
Yep. So let me ask y'all, since y'all both seen it, let me see how I wanna frame the question. I'll just ask it like this. What are some of the things that y'all think we can learn from the Haitian Revolution story? Just, not even a documentary, but just the whole story in general. What do you think that we can learn, if you can give like one or two things that we can learn as a people from this revolution, from this story?
Well, let me just give one. I'm going to be simple because I know my brother got a couple here. My brother Matisse. But I'm just going to give one in saying that when you know who your enemy is, fight your enemy to the death. Don't give your enemy a chance to come back on you. You know what I'm saying? And don't sit up and try to negotiate all willy-nilly with your enemy. Treat them as such. Exterminate them, because they sure gonna try to exterminate you. So just go ahead, put your foot on their neck, and take them out. Don't play with them, because they ain't going to play with you.
Indeed. Carla, what you think? What is something that we can learn in 2018 we can take away from the Haitian Revolution story?
What we can take from that is knowing that everything that you see that's around you, is a weapon. God didn't give man a problem that not that you couldn't. We didn't. God didn't give us a problem that we can't solve. We stand on earth. We got rocks. You know, it's they use rocks. They use the plants. They dug holes. They wasn't where they wasn't. See, their whole thing was like our sister, our good sister, Queen Mother Harriet Tubman. She said this. It came to me one day that I had a right to freedom and I had a right to death. If I didn't have one, I'd have the other. See, that's a revolutionary talk. This sister running around with a Bible in one hand and a gun in the other. If that don't turn you on, I don't know what will.
Right.
See, right. Because freedom was their leader. See, they couldn't just kill no one person.
Exactly.
Either I get free or I'm going to die. And I'll be free then. Freedom or death.
Mm-hmm.
See, we need to stop looking at leaders. Our main focus is getting free. So either we get that, or we're going to keep fighting you because the brothers and sisters were so phenomenal, they lost fear of death. Because if I have to live this way, I'm already dead. So a lot of these people saw those cannons and they jumped straight into the cannon and blew up.
Yeah.
So that cannon is unusable. You can't use that cannon no more.
Yeah.
Once you lose that fear of death, because that's the only thing they have on us. If they threaten your life, it's just like I was watching this cartoon called Black Panther. And I don't know if you all seen it. Good cartoon. Check it out.
Yeah.
So one of the things was the enemy of the Black Panther, his name was Claw, kidnapped Black Panther's mom. He was like, you know, I'm going to kill your mom if you don't do this, that, and other. He said, you know, you can do what you want. You might kill her. You might take my land, but I'm going to kill you. And then he looked at, so he said, I'm coming to get you, Claw. And Claw looked at his mom and was like, no, Black Panther's mom was like, you know, that's my son. He said, you know, oh, that's your son just sentenced you to death. He said, nah, that's my son that sentenced you to death.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to understand. Then there's another part of the Black Panther movie was that when right before he killed Claw, he asked him a question. He said, "Claw, do you have any children?" He said, "No." Why you ask that? He said, "Because I hate to have to kill them too."
Damn.
Because they do that with us. Because after they get us, they get our babies. Once you have. See, and what's so another thing that's important that we got to take from the Haitian Revolution is that there was crystal clear who the enemy was. Once you know who your enemy is, you know exactly what, how, and where to do it.
Right, exactly.
We have to be crystal clear. Exactly.
That's why I brought that up in that last show we did, Brother Kev, when we was talking about the slavery deal. And I was, you know, mentioning that thing about sometimes you have to fight to the death, and the caller was saying that, you know, that what I was saying was damaging. And I'm like, no, it's not damaging. That's just the reality of it. You have to fight to the death or be willing to be a slave. Which is more important to you?
Exactly.
Slavery or death? At some point, we got to get to that point.
Right, right. And,
see, the thing about it, we have to really understand the brutality and the strength, the bestiality of the French, because whenever during slavery, whenever a slave master wanted to break a slave, they would send them to the French.
Mm-hmm.
And the French would send them back.
Mm-hmm.
The French had no barometer lives that they would kill.
It was brutal. We talking about cutting off our legs and feet for runaways, cutting off hands.
Not only that,
arms.
I mean, just dig,
we
like they had in the movie, how they would dig
alive, like
they would bury.
Crazy.
Not only bury you alive, they would bury half your body and have ants to eat your head. They'd be just stinking for weeks for people to see.
Right. Yeah. See. This is the thing. Elijah Muhammad said, if we knew who we was dealing with, we would send them back to the caves. Like, I'm paraphrasing, but he said something like that. Like, if black people really knew who we were dealing with, oh, we would be running them out like the Haitians did, because they saw their true nature. See, in today's time, they do a lot of deceitful,
smoke and mirrors,
covert type things,
And we don't understand. Yeah. We think everything is everything because they smiling and nice. But we don't know the extent of their brutality. And this is a prime example of what they did in Haiti. Like, it was brutal.
Yeah.
Like, they hired us for a reason, because if we knew, that would put us on
alert.
Right
now, everything is on
autopilot. You know what I'm saying?
They already done a lot of damage, though. Everything on autopilot now. They already done so much damage, you know.
Right.
So they still doing it. It's like, check this out, because you reminded me of something.
But just in a different way. I'm saying they are still doing it, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. It's on autopilot now. They don't have to do all the gruesome things that they did before the controls, because a lot of people are already controlled by what they did in the past.
They're doing the gruesome stuff. They still doing it.
I said, I didn't say they're not doing it at all. They're not doing it the same and as much often, only because a lot of people are already trained to be afraid. They already they've already gained control over the humanity, the world, the resources. They already done that part. You know, nobody has stood up outside of the Haitian Revolution that we're talking about. Nobody has stood up against them again.
Right.
You know, I think they have already instilled so much fear that right now.
A lot of us did fight back. We did fight back.
We fought back, but it wasn't successful. We did fight back. Now, I don't think she was saying that. She was saying there's never been another successful one that I know of where the slave population rose up.
My main point is
the independence.
Yes, it has.
My main point is this, is that they've already created so much damage when it comes to the black community that right now at this point, a lot of the stuff that was done in the past is not really that necessary. I know that they still who they are, and some of them definitely do. I mean, we talk about a lot of killings and things like that happen. Now, I know that we still get treated terribly, but it's still, in comparison to today's time, it's not the exact same way. And it's not necessary to be the exact same way, because, like I said, I think a lot of people is still on autopilot. We still have been affected from what happened in the past. Our past is still affecting us today. That's why our communities are as they are. That's why a lot of things is as they are, because it's still from the effect of what was done in the past. That's what I mean by saying it's on autopilot. The system is created. It's just running now. And we still running.
I beg to differ, because they're not done. We still exist and they still exist. They're still our enemy. We're still their enemy. They're not done. They're still doing the same. We just don't see it. It still happens. The same thing that they did then, they still doing it. We have to. Our brother, Dr. Khalid Muhammad, peace be upon him, told us that if you think that the white man of 5,000 years ago is different than the one today, you lost your mind. He's doing the same thing. We don't see it because we don't see it.
I disagree that their tactic has changed.
I disagree with you when you said it. The way they did it, it ain't the same. It's very much the same.
Well, let me be a little more clear, because
you don't see it, don't mean it ain't happening.
Now hold on. Are you done?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. So let me be a little more clear, because perhaps I wasn't before. Because there is a difference. I'm not saying that they're not doing things to us, but there is a difference, because if it wasn't a difference, things would be as they were in the movies, just like The Color Purple right now. There is a difference, but I'm not saying that their mentality has changed. I'm not saying that they aren't still implementing things to oppress us. I'm not saying none of that. We are still being oppressed. They definitely still have hatred towards us. They still is running things. I'm not saying that they wiped us out. Yeah, you're right, we are here. But there is a difference. Because today, right now, we can do things that we couldn't do in the past. That's what I'm just talking about. There are certain differences that's not necessary now because
you mean, are
we
you
have
talking about been, just here, Love and Jay? Are you talking about in the world abroad? Or are you talking about just here in the States?
I'm talking about in the States. Now I know we have the situation going on in Haiti, and we did a show on current slavery in Libya. So I'm not unaware that those things don't go on. I'm just saying as they were back then. You know, I still think there have been some changes. I'm not saying that just because there's been some changes that, okay, yeah, they're our friends now. I'm just saying that they have chosen to do things slightly different because I think
in the States
that it's unnecessary to do it at this point because people have been trained already from fear. If you don't think that what was done in the past don't affect us today, then I disagree with that because what was done in the past definitely has a play effect on us today and how people operate out of fear and all kind of things. It has an effect on the way that we do and don't do things. And that's just how I see it. I know that we still have slavery. I know they still oppress us. I'm not saying that they're our friends, and I'm not saying none of that. I'm just acknowledging the fact that acknowledging the fact that they have done something a little bit different only because, and not only because, I guess I should take the word only out because I'm sure there's other reasons too, but a lot of it is because they don't have to. They don't have to say, don't do this, don't do that, because you've got some people that have been trained to think that white people are better now. Now they can say, they can automatically treat them as if they're better because they've been mentally trained to do that now. Now they can, not going to do that. They'll treat a white person different than a black person. A white man come and say, hey, yeah, we need $10,000. I'm going to do this. They believe them. I'm saying those types of things
right.
What I'm saying mentally.
But you is talking about the States, yeah.
Back to the topic. Let's stay on the Haitian Revolution because in Haiti, they did the complete opposite of what she's explaining as far as, you know, the people today being on autopilot and just kind of going along with the system. They actually got on code with each other, you know, through secret society, secret rituals and things that they did as a group and, you know, held on to some secrets from the French so they could, you know, organize a revolution. You know what I'm saying?
What makes the Haitians different than the Africans that came to America. The only difference between them and us that came up here to the States is the fact that those Africans were fresh off the boat. We were seasoned before we got up here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They were fresh off a boat. A lot of them just came from training. And different than they didn't care where they were getting folk.
Yeah.
Just like with the – because with the Jamaicans, they, you know, majority of the Jamaicans came from Ireland. So they promised the people Ireland some land. They brought them to Jamaica and they left them there. And they just started to enslave them. But they were just fresh off the boat. That's the only thing that makes them different. See, when they were selling Haitians and Jamaicans and people of the Caribbean islands and Brazil, they would sell you as a family. Mom, dad, sister, brother, cousin, all y'all were sold as a group. There was a lot of exceptions where some got sold off this way, but the tradition was they thought, this is what the French thought, if we bond as a family, we can work them harder. Yes, yeah, you can work them. They can fight harder because it's a family, but when they brought us here to the States, nobody knew who we, you were separated, completely separated. You don't know where your cousin at. You don't know where your brother at. You're around people you don't know you don't have no identity of none of these people. That's what made the Haitian Revolution, because they knew, I know my the house nigga was my dad, the house maid was my mom, I'm a field nigga. We all was related. That's what made it so significant, because these was all, they brought us as a family. Then it separated.
And that's how they had that's how they knew to practice the Von Doom and had a different fighting styles and stuff, because they brought that stuff with them.
Right, and as I said, they fresh off the boat.
Mm-hmm.
See, when you fresh off the boat, you still got your customs and your traditions, but when you season, you lost all that when you came up here.
Yeah, this is a different
they still could have.
Going on here?
Yeah, based on the way the French was torturing them, you know, Frick could have kicked in. But again, like you said, they fresh off the boat, so, you know, that spirit of Ogun kick in. It's like, ain't no fear over here. We ready. Like,
yeah.
Right, but
like,
that's why I said
like
at the top of say, freedom or death, you know?
That's why I said at the beginning of this thing, see, what you see with that documentary is a response to the terrorism and the genocide that the French were doing. You didn't see what the French was really doing. You saw the response. This wasn't a killing of white people. This was a resistance against white people.
Right. Exactly. Now, when I first saw this documentary, man, the first thing I thought was this would be a great, like, theatrical movie, not a documentary. Like, if we had a big budget, big studio where we could produce black films and, you know, get like a $200-300 million budget, like 300 or one of these little Gods of Egypt type movies. We had a budget like that to tell the Haitian Revolution story. Do you know how powerful that would be? Like, just to see, you know, them defeat the French and how it all came together, and just to get that theatrical feel, man, I feel like that would be something powerful. And I just hope, you know, I'm blessed to see something like that in my lifetime. But I think the story is so great. If it just had the right production behind it, man, that'd be some powerful cinema. You know?
Yeah, see, one of the things that I, because they can't cover everything. That was another part of the story. You had a society of black people called the Maroon Society.
Right.
And the Maroons were very powerful. There was a queen. That was a sister who was over the Maroons. Her name was Queen Mother Nana. People need to look her up. They didn't mention her in the movie, but it's so much history behind you. You can't put it all in the 2-hour movie.
Exactly.
But there was a sister by the name of Queen Mother Nana of the Maroon Society. See, the Maroons were the brothers and sisters that came from Africa that fled. As soon as they got off the boat, they just went into the hills.
Right.
They pointed it out. But they didn't go into depth with the Maroon Society.
Right.
And one of the stories
of
Queen Mother.
Hold on, Brother Matu. We got another caller. We wanted to get the chance to chime in. But hold on, Brother Matu. Appreciate you calling in. But stay on. Don't hang up.
Area code 314-616. Caller, are you there? Area code 314-616.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I just came in on the conversation. I have no idea what the topic is, so basically I'm just kind of listening to what's going on. I have no idea what's going on.
Okay.
We're reviewing the movie 1804, the documentary, The Hidden History of Haiti.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't had the opportunity to check it out. I was hoping maybe between the holidays and the new year I would get a chance to review it. I haven't got a chance to see it. But one thing that I did want to mention about the revolution is I find it interesting that I believe that the French are asking them to pay reparations for what they did to them, even though they're the ones that embarked upon them.
Ain't that something? I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard about that, man, probably like over the summer. I'm like, so you want reparations for somebody that you were trying to go in, colonize. You know, it's crazy. I mean, look at what, you know, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and they say they just recently paid off the French, like in the 70s or 80s. It took them that long to actually clear that debt from the Haitian Revolution.
I mean,
look
at what Dirty Bill Clinton did to them. You know, prior to him and his wife going in there, they had the best rice crop in the world.
Mm-hmm.
They destroyed it.
Yeah, they destroyed it so his uncle could sell the rice from Arkansas somewhere. His brother, cousin, somebody in his family wanted to sell the rice from Arkansas, so they sabotaged the rice in Haiti. You know, so.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to bring it up earlier. Touching in on what Bill and his wife did in the documentary, just seeing the pictures of Hillary, just looking at her, you're like, man, this is an evil woman. You know what I'm saying? And it go back to when she was running for president. Everybody trying to push black people to vote for Hillary and try to make her seem like, you know, she's for black people and this thing. I'm like, do y'all know how evil this woman is?
Nah,
and the things that her and her husband have done. You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
we have no idea.
I mean,
truth be told, between her and Obama, that's the reason why Libya is in the condition today and now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Nobody
and
has
to get
the
off topic yet. The Clinton administration was the most detrimental to black society in the modern era. So, back to the Haitian Revolution. You know, like I said, it's a significant story. I think it'd be a powerful cinematic debut if it, if there was a budget and a right script and all that. I know you couldn't fit it all in 1-2 hour movie, but just to get it out there, because movies are a powerful medium as far as setting tone. So if we could set the narrative to where, you know, we preach certain, certain things. Don't be afraid of death, black dignity, black respect, you know, teach these things through the story. I think that'd be powerful. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I don't know. What you think, Mufasa? We got like 13 minutes left on the live stream. So I just wanted to put that out there. But Mufasa, where you at?
I'm still here.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me?
Oh, you're okay. Yeah, I hear you. Love Michelle. I'm here. Pause your phone, Mufasa. But so I would recommend to the caller. The caller say he hasn't seen it yet. Caller, I would definitely recommend that you check out this movie. And like I was stressing earlier, to show your kids if you haven't, you know, show your kids, nephews. We got to get this story out to the next generation because they not go really learn about it in school, and they probably not go tell it from the perspective of us,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They're not going to tell it from my perspective. So, you know, I would suggest
and
I definitely take a look at it.
And the other challenge we face with is making our kids interested in things like this. You know, a lot of our youth ain't even interested in looking at nothing like that. You know, on the sea, they've been so prone to looking at these, what you call those, oh my gosh, it wouldn't have slipped out my head. You know how the food
reality
crap that's on TV. There you go. Yeah, you know that they don't want to sit down and look at nothing that they can learn from. You know what I'm saying?
So
we
never
want to
watch
challenge too.
Yeah, that's that goes on us and the elders as far as the culture. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do we get to a point where learning is not cool? You know what I'm saying? We at a point, you know, in our society, a lot of times the nerd gets picked on and all this other stuff. Like, learning's not cool. Being inquisitive about your surroundings not cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, these things is going to be up to us to hold them up as good values. Like, yeah, you want to learn. You want to ask questions. You want to be, you know, inquisitive and learn, do the knowledge, outside research. Like, you should want to learn something new. Like, that feeling you know, we should want that feeling of learning something new and challenging ourselves as far as, you know, as far as a history level and being interested in stuff like that. Because you should want to know how we got to this point. How is society set up the way it is? Like, what, you know, how do we get to this point? And those are the things that should drive you. You know,
it's like it's a domino effect. I don't think they say to themselves, I don't want to learn. I think they prioritize and rather be with their friends or rather be out hanging out. And they look at how other people function in the world and figure to themselves that, okay, well, this person probably didn't graduate. They still living, they still eating every day. So they figure they prioritize, and I think it ended up being a domino effect to them not learning because they will much rather have fun or seemingly have fun anyway, what they would consider fun, you know, hanging out, you know, just being out, right, hanging out with friends and stuff like that, rather than spending time at home. See, a lot of times I don't think parents teach their kids that. And so you're an individual, so be an individual. You don't need a team. And right, when they get to the point where they think that it's bad because they're in the house by themselves studying or reading, they think that's a bad thing, you know. And I do agree with you that, you know, us as parents and elders have to be the ones to change their mindset so they can realize, hey, it's okay. Sometimes you might have to be by yourself. I tell my kids that. Sometimes you might have to be by yourself. That's okay. You utilize that time in a productive way, you know, to make yourself better, a better person. You know, study. You use that time to enhance yourself. You don't have to be around somebody all the time. Make, you know, teach your kids to learn how to be an individual. Because some people don't know how to be an individual. Even as adults, they still feel like they, if somebody don't call them, if they phone don't ring, they feel like it's something bad, something going on. If they don't have friends, they can't go out and do things by themselves. So I think it ends up being a thing.
Okay. Well, yeah. So, yeah, we talking about the Haitian Revolution, and that was just in reference to, we were just saying that, you know, kids, how do we get kids interested in history in general and just stories like the Haitian Revolution, you know. And not saying all kids, you know, some kids are interested in history. But like I said, when we start to control our own narrative and our culture, we can, you know, we can set the standard for what we should value, you know, and knowledge and, you know, knowledge of self, history, study, all those things should be of high value and high regard. But unfortunately, we don't control the narrative, and the people who do, they put the, you know, the ignorance gets the glory and gets the money. You know what I'm saying? They show a lot of ignorance in our society, and those are the quote unquote people who look like they got material items and got money. And so it's just a different dynamic. But as far as the Haitian Revolution, again, it should be, you know, as far as the movie, it should be mandatory in your household, especially if you're Black, African, Moor, Hebrew, whatever. You need this documentary. You need to show people, and more importantly, the young people, because that's the next generation. And if they could take away something from it, you know, I think that's all we can ask for, you know, if they can learn something from it, watch it, understand. That's pretty much, you know, all we can ask for, you know, moving forward. So thanks for calling, everybody. I'm y'all got any last words?
Yeah, I have a few words.
Collective minds. Okay, go ahead. We got like a few minutes left, so go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, people should understand that. What happened in Haiti, America came in under the FDR, Franklin Roosevelt, and they started to put Black faces in presidential offices in Haiti that protected American interests.
just like people got to do their research on two Negroes that killed a lot of Haitians because they was going against America. One of them,
Papa
his
Doc.
Name was Papa Doc and Baby
Papa
Doc.
Papa Doc and Baby Doc, yeah.
You got to do some research on them, too. So we got to understand.
Yeah.
And also the material that's in Haiti, the rock, the raw material in Haiti is only found in two areas on the planet. That's in Haiti and South America because a meteorite hit the planet some millions of years ago, and there's mountains of it in Haiti, and there's mountains of it in South America, and Europeans are controlling that as well. So,
indeed,
yeah, I can do that research on that. That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. And also, there's some recent history in Haiti because there was also a coup in the 90s with Aristide, and, you know, a lot of things was going on. So you can do your research on that. That is actually when Clinton was the president, and you had some people in the Black Caucus trying to get Aristide to stay. It was just a lot. It's a lot that went on with that. There's another documentary called The Ghost of Cité Soleil that I believe Wyclef produced on Haiti. So you can check that out as well. But Haiti is an very, very strategic place in the Western Hemisphere. It's fully African. Even if you look today, you see a lot of beautiful, dark-skinned Haitians because a lot of times they still don't mess with the European like that. Even though they're under, like, economic sanctions, they still, to this day, don't really mess with them like that, you know. So I think it's something that we can learn from. Like the caller said, they have a lot of natural resource. It's something to pay attention to. You know, within this hemisphere, it's very close to America, you know. So, you know, I just think we need to always keep the Haitian people in mind, keep their history alive, and we should definitely, you know, share these stories with each other. So, you know, that's the 1804 movie review. Thanks to all the callers. Thanks to the support. You know, catch us on Facebook, Instagram. We're still working on that YouTube page and some other things, but thanks for the support. We're here every Sunday, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time to 7:30. We will be back next week. Again, it's Collective Minds Radio. This brother Kev, Mufasa, love to say. Yeah, yeah. And this CMR for life, baby.
Innovative mind, all black power. Unity and self-defense combined. Black power, black power, black power, black power, black power. Educated, innovative mind, all black power, black power, black power, black power, black power. Unity and self-defense combined. I just put a black extension on my AR. If my blackness is offensive, I don't say sorry. When it's time to handle business, gotta play your part. If you're not black, I'ma play the race card. No, he didn't, yo, I just play the race card. I'm enlightened, so that's why I feel safe and dark. I'm a warrior, probably got like 8 scars. Revolutionaries can't be scared to wage wars. For the people who oppressed in this cold world, Africans are connected around the whole world. Speaking of Africa, we should treat it like a planet. Total independence, it's gonna take strategic planning. Black power, spending money with my own kind. Black power, buying land that I can call mine. Black power, educated, innovative mind. Black power, unity and self-defense combined. Black power, black power, black power, black power, black power, educated, innovative mind. Black power, black power, black power, black power, unity and self-defense combined. I stay away from pigs like a muscler. Two clips taped together, that's a hood drum. In every hood, I think we should control the politics. By any means, putting pressure on these lobbyists. I put my race first, yeah, I know it's obvious. I see better days, guess I'm just an optimist. I'm trying to wake our people up like alarm clocks. Technology advanced, we gon' need some arm bots. And some droids, I'm not talking about toys. Black power in my body, fuck steroids. And I'm ready if the revolution started today. Cause I'm armed with some knowledge from Kwame to Ray. Black power, spending money with my own kind. Black power, buying land that I can call mine. innovative mind. Martin Paul Black.